Exodus chapter 14, starting in verse 10. When you have it, say amen. If you don't have it, just look up at the screen. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes and beheld the Egyptians marched after them. They were sore afraid. The children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. They said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell you in Egypt, saying, leave us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you will see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, you shall hold your peace. The Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for the anointing that is on your word. I ask you now, God, that you would help us all, God, to prepare ourselves to receive from you today. God, that our minds be clear and our hearts be open to your word today. And Father, we'll be sure to give you all praise. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I want to preach to you this morning on the thought, connecting God's super to your natural. Connecting God's super to your natural. And I'm going to probably challenge your thinking a little bit this morning, but you should be used to that when I preach. So I'm going to challenge you to have an open mind and an open heart while I show some things to you this morning from the scripture. So let's jump into this. First thing we have to understand is that God is a spirit. God is not some old man with a long white beard looking like Father Time or something like that. God is actually a spirit, and he is invisible. He created the heavens and the earth. The psalmist says the heavens are for the Lord, but the earth he has given to the sons of man. You see, heaven is invisible to our natural eye. Why? Because it is a spiritual kingdom. That is why people that do space travel and have all these powerful telescopes and things like that, they cannot see the heaven where God's throne is. It is an invisible kingdom because God created a spiritual kingdom for a spirit God. So heaven is invisible to our natural eye. God created an invisible world for an invisible God. Now, invisible does not mean it does not exist. Invisible means that God has not given me the ability to perceive it. Okay, are y'all with me? Y'all tracking with me? Invisible does not mean that it doesn't exist. It just means I can't see it. I can see natural things with these eyes, but I cannot see invisible things. How many of you can see the oxygen you're breathing right now? Okay, does it mean it's not there? Everybody take a deep breath. You just took something invisible into your body. Why? It doesn't mean just because you can't see it, it doesn't mean it's right there. There's people that say, I don't believe in God because I've never seen God. I don't believe in this because I've never seen it. Hey, we have faith and we believe in things every day. Do you see the wind? No. You see the wind's effect on the trees and the wind's effect on the leaves and the wind's effect on your hair. Some of us have that phantom stuff, the wind will be blowing, and I'll be like brushing my hair. Let's move on. So you see, there's things that are invisible that we don't see, but it doesn't mean they're not there. So that's just where God is. They are there, so they're invisible. So God decides, I'm going to create man, and I'm also going to create the earth, which is a visible world. He takes something visible out of the invisible. Watch this. He said, I'm going to make man. He said, I'm going to take something visible out of the invisible. He said, I will let it be ruled like my heavenly world is ruled, but I'm not going to go there and rule it myself. See what God said? He says, I've created the heavens. I'm ruler of heaven. He said, now I'm going to create the earth, but I'm not going to go there and rule it myself. He said, so I'm going to create a man after my image and after my likeness, and I want him to rule it. So God said, if I'm going to create a visible world, I've got to create a visible man to rule it. Are y'all tracking with me? Don't lose me. He said, I'm going to make man in my image, and I will give him dominion in the earth. Then it will be on earth as it is in heaven. Earth will be ruled by the same guidelines as heaven. That is why Jesus said, we should pray, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because it was God's original design, God's original intent, that earth be ruled according to heaven's guidelines. All right, are y'all with me? Let's move on. You see, earth will be ruled by the same guidelines in heaven. Now we have to keep in mind that God was God before he created the heavens. But he was not a king. I told you I'm going to challenge you. God was God before he created the heavens, but he was not a king. You can't be a king unless you have a domain. Watch this. Genesis 1 and 1 says, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. And then verse 2 goes straight to the earth. You see, God is so awesome that when he wanted to be a king, he just created his own kingdom. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. Verse 2 jumps to, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. You see, all we learn about God in creating heaven was in verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens. He created the heavens in a day, and immediately, God had the capacity to rule it. Are y'all with me? God created the heavens in a day and immediately had the capacity to rule it. When he created the heavens, he did it immediately. But when he created the earth, he did it in stages. God has the capacity to rule heaven in an instance. But the capacity for us to conquer everything in our lives must come in stages. Because we can't rule everything in our lives all at one time. Are y'all tracking with me? I'm laying some foundation for you. God could have done it immediately, but he was trying to teach us to learn how to conquer in stages. Watch this. On day one, God created this, this, and this, and he said, this is good. And God saw the work that he did and said, this is good. On day two, God created some more, looked at the work that he did and said, this is good. Watch what's happening right here. First day, this much is good. Second day, this much is good. We have to learn how to stop and celebrate stages. You got to learn to celebrate what's going on. You may not be where you want to be. Your life may still be a wreck at times. You may still have some issues, but at least you're not strung out on dope this morning. All right? At least you're not sitting in a hospital room this morning. At least you're not in an insane asylum this morning. You are able to come in your clothes and in your right mind in the house of God worshiping Jesus Christ. Amen. Sometimes you just have to stop, look in the mirror and say, I may not be where I need to be, but I'm just going to shout because I'm not where I used to be. Amen. God creates in stages, and we got to learn how to conquer in stages and learn to celebrate. We want to beat ourselves up because we ain't got it all figured out. Honey, show me somebody that does, and I want to shake their hand. Why? Because I've been preaching for 20 years, and I still don't have it all figured out, and some days I don't even feel saved. Y'all looking at me like, well, you're the pastor. I'm a human. Amen. Folks get on my nerves. I want to cuss. I want to hit somebody. I want to act a fool and get tacky. And if you say you don't, I want to shake your hand. Because no matter how saved you get, your flesh will never get saved. And it wants to retaliate. Learn to celebrate successes. Learn to celebrate, hey, this much is good. And that's what God did. He was teaching us how we're supposed to conquer things. I'm trying to help somebody this morning. Don't beat yourself up because you still struggle. All of us struggle. All of us struggle with something. It's just sometimes we point out people's struggles that are public because we don't want nobody to know about our private struggles. But can I tell you something? God's still God, whether it's public Our God's still God, whether you sitting in front of your computer at 2 in the morning when everybody's asleep. Woo! God's still God regardless. And everybody's got issues that they're struggling with. And don't beat yourself up because you still struggle. Because let me tell you something, as long as we have flesh, we're going to struggle. That's why the Apostle Paul wrote, I have to die daily so that Christ can live in me. In other words, Paul said, I got to fight it daily. And this man was very versed in the scripture, wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, a powerful preacher of the gospel, and he said, I got to die daily. And he also said, I want to do good. He said, but evil's always around me. So Paul was saying, I have to struggle myself. And he said, that thing that I would not do is the very thing I find myself doing. This is the Apostle Paul talking. In other words, he said, what I said I wasn't going to do, I ended up doing it. How many of us has ever said, I won't ever do that again? And you still did it. Amen. Thank you for the honest folks in the house. Everybody else, I hope you get saved before we get out of here today. Amen. All of us have said, I'm not going to do that ever again. And we do it again. I'll never do that. And we end up doing it. I've learned, don't ever say what you won't do. Because your flesh will sin at the opportunity that you give it. Let's move on. So God is invisible. And he wants to get the rule of heaven into the visible world that he created. To do that, he has to get the invisible of heaven into the visible world. In order to do that, he has to get the invisible of heaven, watch this, into the invisible of man, which is my spirit. Can you see my spirit? No. Can I see your spirit? No. God wants to get the invisible of heaven into the invisible of man, into his spirit. So God gets his invisible world into the visible world by putting his Holy Spirit in our visible body. So then when we become born again and we have the Spirit of God living in us, then we become a mirror image of Christ to the world. Ooh. What does Christian mean, to be Christ-like? We are supposed to mirror the image of Christ to the world. Because God says, I want a visible world to see me. But in order for that to happen, I'm going to have to get inside a visible man with my spirit so that he can be a reflection. That is why when the disciples asked Jesus, they said, show us the Father. And Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. We are supposed to live our lives in such a way that people can see Christ in us. All right? I could stop right there and preach for a long time, but I'm not going to. So watch this. God gets his invisible kingdom into the visible world by putting his Holy Spirit. Then God can be seen on the earth. What did I tell you at the first? God is invisible. But when God wants to be seen, invisible God wants to be seen in a visible world, God gets in the visible. God gets in visible. He gets in us so that the world can see him. Let's move on. So God gave man dominion over the earth, and God would come down in the cool of the day is what Genesis teaches us. But another translation, the correct translation, says God come down in the spirit of the day. God would come down in the spirit of the day and walk and talk with man. God would come down in the garden in the spirit. Are y'all with me? And talk with man and walk with Adam. That is why it was a supernatural relationship. Don't you think it's supernatural when God's spirit comes down in the spirit and walks and talks with us? Amen. So God would come down. It was a supernatural relationship. That is why. Let me help you right here. That is why when man sinned, God came down into the garden and he said, Adam, where are you? It wasn't that God didn't know where Adam was. God come down in the spirit. But because Adam and Eve had sinned, they were out of the spirit and in their flesh. So God came down and he said, where are you? In other words, what God is saying is, I'm looking for you in the spirit, but you're sitting here in your flesh. How many times does God walk in our churches? and say, where are you? God said, I'm in the spirit, and I want to bless you and move you, but we sit here all wrapped up in our flesh. Why else do you think the only thing that Jesus ever cursed when he was on the face of the earth was the fig tree? Why? Because what happened? Adam and Eve sewed together fig leaves and made themselves aprons because they realized they were naked. Jesus, the only thing Jesus ever cursed was the fig tree because they tried to use it as a substitute for being covered in the Spirit. Ooh. So let's move on. So God would come down in the cool of the Spirit and talk with them. Man walked with the supernatural of God. So what you must understand about Adam as well, Adam was an ambassador. How many of you know that we're ambassadors of Christ? Okay, let me help you with ambassadors right here. Adam was an ambassador. What you must understand is an ambassador has no opinion of their own. This is the opinion of my government. If the United States sends an ambassador to another country, they don't go and tell their opinion. They go, well, this is the opinion of my government. How many of you know in God's kingdom, he does not care about our opinion? Amen. The rest of you, I hope you'll catch on. God in his kingdom does not care about our opinion. He don't care about my opinion. He don't care about your opinion. We want to tell God how to be God, but he's been God a long time. And he don't care about our opinion. Well, I don't like them. I don't see how God's going to use them. God goes, I don't care. I could read you a story. I don't have time this morning. There's a story in the Bible about Josedek, the high priest, being before God, and Satan comes before God, and Josedek's standing there in filthy rags, and Satan's like, Lord, how can you let him in your presence with these filthy rags? How can you let him in your presence? And he's got all these issues in his life. And God says, is this not a brand plucked from the fire? What God's saying is, Satan, it ain't none of your business who I let in my presence. I can show you that in Scripture. Satan, it ain't none of your business who I let in my presence. We've got to get over ourselves and let God be God and quit trying to tell God how to be God. Quit trying to show God how to be God and say, God, here I am. Use me. Whatever you want, whatever your purpose is, whatever your plan is, I give you my life. And whatever, if you lead me away, I don't know where I'm going. God, I'll follow you because you are God. We got to learn to have that kind of trust in God. Not God, if you'll do this, and God, you'll do that, I'll serve you. God, whatever you require of me, I will serve you. Adam was an ambassador. In other words, he wasn't supposed to have an opinion. This is the opinion of my government. An ambassador serves the rights of the government that has placed authority on him. Adam was actually heaven's ambassador on earth. Y'all tracking with me? Watch this, though. Adam was heaven's ambassador on earth. He operated with heaven's authority. When Adam sinned, it was more than disobedience. Adam actually committed treason. Why? Why do you say Adam committed treason? Because there is only one crime that has the absolute punishment of death. And that crime is still, that law is still in place today. There's only one crime that carries with it the punishment of death, and that is treason. So Adam was an ambassador, but he committed treason when he ate of the tree. Why? Because God said, the day that you eat of this tree, you shall surely what? Eating of this tree carried the certain penalty of death. So that's why we know that when Adam sinned and ate of this tree, he committed treason. So let's move on, because he was an ambassador. Now, Adam committed treason. Now, because of Adam's fall, it released the knowledge of all kinds of evil to infiltrate humanity. I'm painting a picture here. It released what was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? When they eat of this tree, it released the knowledge of all kinds of evil to infiltrate humanity. You see, Satan rules people. He rules cities and he rules churches by the way that people think. Do you know Satan can rule your life if you're not careful by your thinking? That is why the Bible teaches us, be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Think is. If the enemy controls your thinking, he can control your life. Every crime that is committed starts where? Every sin that is committed starts where? You say, well, I sinned before I knew it. No, you had that split second to think about it. Nobody just accidentally sins. Well, preacher, you just don't know. I just got caught up before I knew anything about it. No, you did. You did. Nobody has ever committed a sin they didn't first think about it. You say, well, you may not have thought about it long. Why? Because you wanted to do it so bad. And the devil did not make you do it. Amen. You wanted to do it, so you did it. Amen. That's why Adam tried to cop out and throw Eve under the bus. You can tell they weren't married long. God said, Adam, what'd you do? He said, the woman made me do it. I'm sure Eve cut her eyes at him, popped her neck. She had to be white, because if she'd black, she'd have killed him. I've learned a few things. A black woman will cut you. So I done got tickled. I'm sorry. So Adam throwed Eve under the bus. He said, the woman made me do it. Hey, did it work for Adam then? No, it's not going to work for us now. It ain't an excuse to God, somebody else made me do it. Well, they got me hooked on that stuff. Well, you had to take it. Woo. Well, I got fooled with when I was a kid. Now I'm doing with this. Hey, you have a choice every day. You got a choice every day. Hey, we can't help what life throws at us, but we can handle the choices that we made. We may have messed it up royally, but guess what? Tomorrow's a new day. And we can wake up and say, I'm going to do better today. And then the next day, I'm going to do better today. It's a choice every day. Hey, people that are free from addiction, they choose to remain free. Hello? People that choose to walk in forgiveness, they choose to. Why? Because you ever forgave somebody and then they hurt you again? Amen. You have to choose to walk in forgiveness. That don't mean I'm going to hang out with you. Somebody hurts you, you can forgive them, but that don't mean you got to run with them. Let me help you now. God don't bless stupid. Let's move on. So from Satan began to rule peoples and cities, and by the way they think, from this point on, Satan began to take every opportunity that he could to take rulership over God's creation. You see, Satan is also a spirit. And he gets in man and uses man for his purpose. And by doing this, watch this, Satan is trying to rule earth like he desired to rule heaven, but he failed. What was heaven? God's creation. Are y'all with me? Satan wanted to rule it, but he failed. So Satan comes to earth, watch this, where it says God's creation. Man is God's creation. So Satan says, maybe I can rule it the same way that I wanted to rule heaven. Let's move on. But because God gave dominion to man on the earth, Satan now has to operate through man. Just like God gave man dominion on the face of the earth. Are y'all with me? So now when Jesus came to this earth to be able to do anything, he had to wrap himself up in flesh and become a man. Why? Because he could not have authority on the earth until he was wrapped up in flesh. How do you know this, preacher? I'm glad that you asked. What does the Bible say about us? We were created a little lower than the what? Angels. We were created a little lower than the angels. If we were created lower with the angels, that means angels are more powerful than us. Then how come Jacob was able to defeat an angel? The Bible said Jacob wrestled with an angel until the breaking of day, to the point that Jacob had such a grip on him that the angel reached down and touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh. In other words, where your hip bone comes into your pelvis, and it became dislocated. And Jacob still held on. Sometimes you got to hold on when it hurts. Sometimes you got to keep fighting even though it hurts. And Jacob held on. But the Bible said, Jacob, the angel said, let me go. The sun's rising. And Jacob said, I'm not going to let you go. Do you bless me? And the angel blessed him and all this. So how was Jacob able to defeat an angel? Because the angel was on earth. And God gave man dominion on the face of the earth. So the angel found himself in man's domain. Now, oh God, y'all got to, I got so much going through my mind. I'm trying to stay on track. Now, how many of you know that Satan used to be an angel? Satan used to be an angel. His name was Lucifer. Are y'all with me? So if Satan finds himself on earth trying to do stuff, how many of you know he then becomes subject to us? That is why the Bible teaches us, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So why do we let Satan push us around? Watch this. When we have the ability to defeat him. Ooh. So let's move on. Are y'all okay this morning? This is good stuff. So watch this. Now, even though man failed, God still maintained a relationship with man. It was just different than God intended. You know, if Adam and Eve hadn't failed and nobody else failed, we'd still be living in the Garden of Eden. Mm-hmm. That's why when I get to heaven, I'm going to call Adam outside. You got us down here working and being sick, dealing with all these problems. I'm going to act right when I get in heaven, but I'm going to whoop his tail before we get in. Come here, Adam. This has been a long time coming. I'm just joking, guys. Some of y'all looking at me like, I can't believe my preacher's saying that. If you ain't never wanted to hit Adam, you I think we all have. And women may want to whoop Eve, too. Now you got us having problems with childbirth and having to deal with all this mess and these grouchy men. And let's move on before I get in trouble. So as time goes on, God makes a covenant with a man named Abraham. And the children of Israel become God's chosen people. So Satan, watch this, finds a man, a Pharaoh, to take rulership over God's people, to enslave them. And they were enslaved for 400 years. So for 400 years, the children of Israel are enslaved in Egypt. And during this time, it is ingrained in their mind that they're supposed to be ruled over. How many of you know that you can go through something so long that it just becomes your normal? I told you this before. You can chain a dog up and leave him chained too long and then take him off the chain and he'll still sit there. Why? Because it's ingrained in his mind that this is the way it's going to be. And there are people today that have been through so much in their life that it's become ingrained in their mind that nothing good can happen to them. That nothing extraordinary is going to happen to them. And when something good happens to them, it's so foreign to them that they end up sabotaging it. That's why some people can't let somebody be good to them, because they've been hurt so much that they think that everybody's the same and they're going to sabotage and try to look for the angle when somebody's actually being good to them. Amen. That's why some of you ladies have run off some good men, because of what all the bad men have done. Ooh, and all my amens have died. And vice versa. Some of you men can't take a good lady because you think she's a gold digger because of what all the other ones have done. All my amens are dying in here, but that's okay. Why? Because it's so foreign. So it got ingrained in their mind that something was always going to rule over them. You know, there's people today, and I talk to them all the time, that cannot even enjoy the blessing of God because they're waiting for it to fall apart. How many of you know troubles are going to come? So when they're not coming, enjoy the good times. Hey, trouble may come tomorrow, but today, we're going to party like it's 1999. Trouble may come tomorrow. Trouble may come next week. But I'm not going to sit here and mullygrub in the good times because I'm worried about when the bad times are going to come. They're going to come whether you worry about them or not. So enjoy the good days. There's people on Facebook that everything out of their mouth is negative. And my flesh wants to rise up. And I want to say, do you not ever have a good day? And you're supposed to be a Christian. And you don't have a good day. I'm sorry your big toe hurts, but the whole internet don't need to know about it. People trip me out. They get on there and air all their laundry, and then when people start talking about it, they want to get on there and blast everybody. Like, y'all keep y'all my stuff out your mouth. I'm like, you put it on the World Wide Web. We'll stay up here. So
children of Israel are in bondage for 400 years. And then God sends a man by the name of Moses to lead them out. We know this story very well. During this time, God sends 10 plagues upon Egypt. These plagues are supernatural. Hail falling out of the sky and burning on the ground. Frogs and lice and boils and the water turning into blood. Cattle dying, locusts. All these things are supernatural events. So the children of Israel are exposed to the supernatural of God. But how many of you know there's a difference in being exposed and walking in it? Hello? There's a difference in being exposed to something and actually stepping off in it. Let's move. Keep that in mind. So here the children of Israel are exposed. They are witness. They witness it with their eyes. They see the signs and wonders. And ultimately, this display of God's supernatural power sets them free from Egypt. And they leave Egypt rejoicing and praising God. And they think that they are done with Egypt for good. They're rejoicing and they're dancing and they're praising God. And they think they're done with Egypt. So they go out into the wilderness and they come to the banks of the Red Sea. But then they look over their shoulder and Egypt's coming after them. Let me stop right here. Don't you ever think that what God delivered you from won't show back up and try to take you over again. Don't ever think you're to the point in your life that it can't come back. Just because God set you free doesn't mean it won't come back and try to take you over. This is where a lot of people are caught off guard. Oh, God, you delivered me from that. God, you delivered me from that. Why am I struggling with it again? What were we made from? Dirt. What happens when dirt is introduced to a seed? It grows. So if you've ever had a garden and just say you planted corn, y'all with me? You plant corn. You harvest your corn. Next year, you don't plant corn. But how many of you know some volunteer ears will start to shoot up? Why? Because that soil has been introduced to that seed. So even though God delivers you from something, the soil of your life still has trace amounts of that seed in it. So there may be times where volunteer shoots will spring up and you're like, why in the world am I dealing with this again? And people are caught off guard. God, you delivered me from this. I shouldn't be struggling with this. It's because your soil has been introduced to that seed. So there may be times you have to struggle with some of the same things that God brought you out of. Ooh. Amen. Thank you, brother. So let's move on. So they come to the banks of the Red Sea, but all of a sudden they look up and they see Pharaoh and his armies approaching, and they panic. They panic. Why is it when we start going through tough times that the first thing we do is forget everything God's done for us? We're all guilty of it. God's been so good to us. He's blessed us. He's healed our bodies. He's kept us. He's done amazing things in our lives. But we start going through trouble and we forget every bit of that. Oh, God, where are you? God, where are you? You step on a Lego at 2 in the morning in the dark, you will cry out to God. If you've never walked through the house barefoot and stepped on a Lego in the middle of the night, that's the way to test your salvation. I almost backslid. Y'all gotta calm. Anyway, let's move on. They panic and they begin to turn on Moses, saying, why did you not leave us in Egypt? Why didn't you leave us in Egypt? Don't you know there are rulers over us? But when God spoke to Moses at the bush, he said, I have heard the cry of my people to deliver them out of Egypt. So here God delivers them. But at the first sign of trouble, they want to go right back to what God brought them out of. Why is it when God does amazing things in our life, at the first sign of trouble, we want to give up on serving God? Well, I ain't going back to church. I got my feelings hurt. Well, join the club. You get your feelings hurt at work, but you still go back. Amen. You get your feelings hurt with your friends, but you still go back. You get your feelings hurt by your spouse, but you still go back. Amen. We want to give up on serving God when we go through a difficult time. So they panic and they say, why didn't we tell you to leave us alone? Didn't we tell you to leave us alone? See, they were free positionally, but in their minds, they were still slaves. See, there's a lot of people today that God's done amazing things in their lives, but in their mind, they're still bound. In their mind, they're still trapped. In their mind, and you know, your mind and what you think, the Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. What you think and your mind is what's going to keep you bound, is what's going to keep you struggling. Because God will set you free. Because the Bible says, he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. But you have to choose to remain free by your thinking, by your actions, by what you do. So they panic. Here we see Satan trying to control people by the way they think. They were ready to go back and be ruled by Pharaoh and them. They were ready to go back to Egypt. They had seen God do the supernatural in Egypt, but they're still dealing with the same enemy. You know, many people have witnessed the supernatural of God and been exposed to it, but they're still fighting the same old devils, still fighting the same old enemy. You know, many of us, if you've been in church any time, any length of time, you see God do amazing things. We see God do the supernatural financially. We see God do the supernatural. You know, when God takes a black heart and washes it in a red blood and it comes out white as snow, hey, that's a supernatural event. Salvation is a supernatural event. Amen. We've seen God do miraculous healings. We've seen God, people healed and set free and delivered from all kinds of things. We see God do amazing things, and many people are exposed to the supernatural of God, but yet they're still struggling. Many of our churches have been exposed to the supernatural, but still fighting the same old enemy over and over. Moses spoke up and told the people, he said, just stand still. Just stand still. Calm yourself down. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The Lord shall fight for you. You shall hold your peace. Sometimes the best way to fight is to keep our mouth shut. Sometimes the best way to fight is just to keep our mouth shut and let God do the fighting. Because God has a way. Amen. God has a way of handling it. Well, I don't like that preacher. I don't think he's the real deal. Well, I'm going to just keep my mouth shut and let God bless me right in front of you. God has a way of shutting up the haters. I've told you this a million times. I'm going to keep telling you because I keep seeing it. Quit wasting all your time fighting what people say. If you know it ain't true, you don't have to defend it. Hey, why? Because God has a way of bringing the truth out. Amen. So Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The Lord will fight for you and you will hold your peace. Watch this. Then Moses stretched out his rod and the Red Sea parted and there was dry ground. How many of you know this is a supernatural event? Does that just happen? No. If I went out to the river and I throwed a rock across it and it parted, I'm probably going to run. Because there's either a tornado happened or something's happened. Amen. Y'all act like y'all would be like, oh, I'm so holy. You'd scare you to death too. Because that stuff just don't happen. Amen. I've seen stuff happen in the spirit realm that it just don't happen. And it'll scare you to death. Let's move on. So Moses stretched out his rod. It was a supernatural manifestation. But watch this though. God said, I'm taking you stages. The first time you were exposed to it. But he says, now it's time to take step two. God said, this time, I want you to step off in it. The Red Sea opening and dry ground was a supernatural event. And God said, he asked Moses, he says, why are you still down crying about this? Get up and walk forward. Walk into the supernatural. And God said, I'm putting my super, but you got to put your natural. You know, God has all the super. But we don't see the supernatural until we put our natural with his super. We got to get connected. We got to connect God's super to our natural. So God, he told the people, he said, get up and move forward. I don't know about you, but I'm looking over here. This was a sea a few minutes ago. And now the water is moved and there's dry ground. And I look to the right and to the left and there's nothing but walls of water. Would you be all like, oh, yay, we're going in? No. You'd be like, Moses, you sure?
they weren't any Southerners in there, because they'd go about halfway through and throw their fishing pole in the side of the water. But I'm sure that they were like, this probably wasn't something that they wanted just to dive off into. You know, sometimes walking with God and where He wants you to can be scary. But sometimes that's your only way out. Sometimes trusting the door that God has opened is your only way out. If they hadn't have stepped off into this, Pharaoh and his army would have overtaken them. Sometimes you got to be okay with walking on unfamiliar territory, something that scares you, because it's your way out. But God will not and has not ever set you up for failure. God will not do that. He will not set you up for failure. If He opens a door, even though you may not understand, even though it scares you to death, you have to be willing to walk through it and trust that the door that He opened is the path. Amen. Let me give you just a few more points and we'll close. So they stepped off into the supernatural and were walking on dry ground. And in this brief moment, man was once again walking in the supernatural with God. Man was walking in the supernatural with God as it was in the garden. But watch this. Pharaoh and his army followed them into the sea. Don't you ever think that the enemy won't follow you into the supernatural. The enemy will follow you there. This is where we get caught off guard. Remember, though, Satan is a spirit. But watch what happened when the enemy followed them into the supernatural. Pharaoh and his whole army was destroyed. Why? Because what God creates to deliver you will also destroy that's what's trying to destroy you. Sister Beverly, would you come? What God creates to deliver you, God can also use to destroy what's trying to destroy you. Got to get connected, God's super, to your natural. God caused the waters to fall on the Egyptians while the children of Israel were still walking on dry ground. Think about that. And I know that there's theologians that want to argue that where the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea was only ankle-deep water. And it was a storm blowing and it blew the waters back and all that. And I'm like, well, praise God, God drowned Pharaoh and his whole army in ankle-deep water. Either way, it's a miracle. I don't care if it was 500 foot deep or 6 inches deep. God still did a supernatural. Amen. And we have to trust that. And in closing, I want to tell you this. When Jesus came to this earth, He told us something very profound. He said, I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom. He said, whatever you bind on earth, bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth, is loosed in heaven. What did I tell you at the first of this message? That Adam was heaven's ambassador to earth. Heaven backed him up on what he did. But do you know when Jesus gave us those keys to the kingdom, heaven now backs us up. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. We are ambassadors of Christ. And we can do things for God, and heaven's going to back us up. But in order to do that, we got to get God's super with our natural. And start walking in divine provision. Start walking in divine favor. And trusting that the doors that God opens before us is the way that He wants us to go. Amen. Would you stand with me all over the house? You say, well, the enemy's still pursuing me. The enemy's still after me, Pastor. Hey, sometimes the enemy will come after you. But you got to trust that when you're following God, God will handle that. God will handle that. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, I've delivered my heart today. God, as best as I know how. And I feel like, God, you've showed us things through your word today, God, that we may have not have seen before, thought of before. God, I pray that you'd help us all to not be drawn back to the place that you brought us out of,
But God, that we would go forth in faith into what you have for us. God, many times it's so easy to be pulled back to the familiar, to be pulled back to the place of comfort. Because God, when we follow you, it stretches us. God, it stretches us into the unknown. It stretches us to walk by faith. It stretches us to walk into unknown territory and places that are scary, and we don't know what the outcome is going to be. But God, we know you're leading us, and it's going to be all right. God, that we're going to come out on the other side. God, I ask you today, God, if there's any in this room today, God, that may be, that feel like they've got their face against a Red Sea and Pharaoh and his army breathing down their neck. God, that you would show them that you're opening a way. God, that they will stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. God, that you're going to make a way out of no way. You're going to make a way where there seems to be no way. God, if they'll just keep trusting you, standing on your word. God, we love you today. We give you all praise and honor. I want to open these altars this morning. If you want to spend time talking to God, say, Lord, there's some things I need to talk to you about, some things I need to get under the blood, some things I need to trust you with in my life. These altars are open if you'd like to come.